Some of you may remember the story of Elijah the prophet when he was running for his life from Jezebel. It's one of those us and them moments, you know. And so he's pretty sure, you know, when everybody catches up with him, because he's been, as he puts it, zealous for God, that he's going to be in big trouble, maybe not even survive. So he goes out into the wilderness, and he spends a couple nights in the wilderness, and lo and behold, angels come and deliver him food and water overnight and tell him that he's going to need this nourishment for the journey, that it's a long journey ahead. And he gets to Mount Horeb and goes up to a cave at Mount Horeb. So whenever you read in the Bible, or maybe anywhere, metaphysically, this idea of the mountain is a higher level of consciousness. You know this from being near the mountains, right? There is that sense, right? You get up higher and you have this bigger picture sense of the world around you. And so it is with moving in these stories to a higher ground. And then even more so, he goes into a cave. So you've got the idea of the higher consciousness, and then you've got that real inward sort of moving into the womb, the place of creation. And so it's while he's in there that God comes to him and says, "Hey, Elijah, what are you doing?" And Elijah tells his dramatic story of how he's running for his life, you know. And God says, you know, come. And then actually he goes to sleep for the night. And then it's the next day that God says, "Go out. The Lord is about to go by the cave, the outside of the cave." So, you know, that's always a fun message to get, right? Well, I'm pretty curious. I don't know about you. I'd be running to the mouth of the cave. And so he starts moving, and this enormous windstorm occurs. I mean, so big that the mountain is splitting, and the rocks are splitting, and things are tumbling, and it's howling everywhere, and it's howling in the cave. And Elijah can't feel God in the wind. He's a little worried. And then, but there's no time to worry, because pretty soon the ground starts to tremble beneath him and an earthquake begins to erupt. You know, he doesn't feel God in the earthquake. And then wildfires break out all around. All the brush and the trees are on fire and everything is fiery orange. Elijah's not seeing God, not feeling God in the fire. And then there is the sound of sheer silence. And it is so profound. The presence of God is so deeply felt in Elijah that he goes out to the mouth of the cave with this great reverence, so reverent that he puts a mantle over his face, almost as if he can't bear to see the silence because it's so bright, it's so big. And for many of us, like Elijah, this is the place where we access that presence, isn't it? That we really do feel a sense of God in that silent place, in that communion. Not so much in the outer world of busyness, the news and the politics and all that. We know God's everywhere present, but it's a little harder to find it and feel it, right? Sometimes. But boy, when we slow down, when we stop for a moment, when we drop in, we can begin to feel that silence. And there's that, when we touch that place of oneness, there is that kind of reverence, isn't there? You almost want to just put a mantle on, cover your face, because the brilliance is so great. So silence, prayer, meditation includes this piece in our fourth principle in unity. Our principle is about affirmative prayer and meditation, that these are the key practices for us. We state it as through silent meditation and affirmative prayer, we align our hearts and minds with Spirit. Through silent meditation and affirmative prayer, we align our hearts and minds with Spirit. So the fourth principle is a principle and a practice, and it sort of wraps in all the other principles. So in our prayer, in our silent time, and also our spoken prayer, we really want to be reflecting all these principles we've been talking about. Understanding the nature of God, that this God is indeed everywhere present, all loving goodness. And the nature of us, that we are the part of this. We are the I am. We have the power of that Christ, the divine, the sense of oneness with the Spirit. That's the second principle. And the third, that we are co-creators, that we are in constant co-creativity, co-creating our lives and our world by the thoughts that we hold in mind, the feelings in our hearts, and now with prayer, another step of co-creativity. So these two, this listening, some people like to say that meditation's like listening to Spirit and prayer is like speaking to Spirit. That's a very simplified definition. And both of those things seem to happen kind of interchangeably, right? So we may speak a prayer and then sit in some extended silence. Or while we're speaking a prayer, there may be nice long pregnant pauses of silence so that we really feel it. I mean, there's no right or wrong way to pray, but certainly if there is one, it would be praying from the heart, right? Because when we pray from the heart, we're in that space where the love is coming through us and expressing as us. So what is prayer, really? It is this communication. It is this speaking. It is this feeling and listening. Annie Lamont has her own version of prayer. And we all do, don't we? Annie Lamont is an author, you may know, and she wrote a book that summed up prayer in thanks, wow. Oh, no, that's not right, the right order, sorry. Help, thanks, wow. Help, thanks, wow. So this is her prayer. Hi, God. And then she says, oh, if you have trouble using the word God, she suggests some something. Hi, some something. I'm just a mess. It's all hopeless. What else is new? I would be sick of me if I were you, but miraculously, you're not. I know I have no control over other people's lives, and I hate this. Yeah, we all pray that one, don't we? Yet I believe if I accept this and surrender, you will meet me wherever I am. Wow, can this be true? If so, how about this afternoon? Say two-ish. Thanks in advance for your company and your blessings. You have never let me down. Amen. So it's a letter to God, isn't it? It's a conversation to a very personal, friendly God. It's very real. It's a kind of conversation you'd have with your best friend. And sometimes, for some of us, that kind of prayer and that kind of outpicturing of relationship with Spirit is helpful to us. Now, is that true for some of you some of the time? Yeah. And it's not fully on our principles, but if we're conscious about what we're doing and the God that we're bringing in and the God that we're being, if you will, in this process, that's the key. It's the consciousness. So if we sometimes need a friend to talk to and God needs to be our friend, I say we have at it. And we also then have a way of praying in unity called affirmative prayer that helps us line up with our principles. But before we get there, I want to talk about some of these other kind of traditional types of prayers that we do. Because prayer is really an exercise of faith. And so you can see why it might be helpful for us to be more in alignment with what we say we believe. So for example, have you ever done the Dear God prayer? The begging, beseeching, please, if only, will you, if you give me this, or if you take away that. Oh, now we're into the bargain, right? The bargain prayer, you know that one? Tyler told me a good joke between services that I'll pass on to you. So he said there was a man who was going to a meeting, and he was running really late, and he was looking for a parking place, and he was, you know, getting really nervous. It was an important meeting. He needs a parking place like right now. And so he got so desperate, and this is what people often say, has it come to this? It's time to pray, you know, somebody will say. Oh, let's pray. Oh, wow, is it that bad? So he's talking to God and saying, you know I don't go to church. I know I really haven't talked to you. I don't really pray. But I really need a parking space right now. And so if you will give me a parking place, I will go to church and I'll start paying more attention and I'll start praying. And then just as he's driving, along comes this parking space. And he goes, oh, never mind, I found one. You can thank Tyler for that one. Yeah. So we find ourselves in these places, right? But the purpose of prayer is not to change God's mind, because God doesn't need changing, right? It's that ever-present principle that is everything we would ever want and dream of. There's no changing that. And principles aren't changeable. They do what they do what they do. And it's good when we're talking God. So no changing God. So then what's the purpose of prayer? We're not negotiating to try to change God's mind. It's to do what? Change our mind. You guys are so good. That's what we're up to. We're up to changing our minds, up to shifting into this co-creative place that we talk about in Principle 3. That we co-create, constantly are co-creating the kind of life and world we want to live in. And I mean constant, like thoughts and words and feelings and actions, and throughout our day, these choices that we're making are shaping us into that flow of possibility and probability and everything that we would hope to be and know in our lives. And so then our prayers are sort of this extra push. But they're more than the extra push, because they're really profoundly part of that co-creative process. So if you imagine like the world, that the universe is created out of this divine idea, the spark, right? That's actually what angels are metaphysically, is divine ideas. So out of the, you know, that we're told in Genesis, the face of the void, right? The deep, across the deep, dark waters, there is this creation that comes. There's some kind of spark, some kind of light, some kind of idea, intelligence that says creation. And creation begins to unfold and evolve and magnificently so, wouldn't you say? I mean, amazing, this world that we live on, these bodies that we have, these minds that we have. And so all of this a part of that creation. And then we perpetuate the creation. And so what we will create will be much more profound if we are in the place of claiming the truth and speaking the truth into being than being in the place of lack and limitation, right? It's pretty simple, not always easy. This is the thing about unity. Pretty simple, not always easy. Because it's working with it and walking it. And so in the midst of conflict, in the midst of a difficult diagnosis, in the midst of some kind of natural disaster, when we are practiced or pre-prayered, if you will, then it's easier for us to line up with a possibility, to see the possibility, to call forth and to claim that which it is that we want to experience. Whatever it is, the peace and the harmony, the love, the connection, the restoration, the health, the wholeness. And so it's much easier for us when we are practiced. So we must be in practice, right? Practice in our silent time, practice in our affirmative prayers. A little 5-year-old child was noticing that his mother was irritated that day, and he said, "Mommy, did you do your meditation?" And so children can often reflect that back to us, and we could certainly happily reflect it back to the people we share our homes with, right? Did you do your meditation today? But we notice for ourselves, don't we? Probably more than anything, we notice it for ourselves. When we are really in practice, how things sort of flow and click and creativity flows and love flows much, it seems, to me anyway, easier than when we are out of practice, then we tend to forget and we tend to go to those places of more limitation. So our work is just to practice, to continue to practice. This thing with affirmative prayer is that it makes firm that which we want to create. It's like creating a firm understanding beneath us so that principle can arise and be expressed through us. And so it's a difference between, you know, praying for Susie's health and talking all about Susie's illness in the prayer, and oh, how I hope, you know, this will happen and that'll happen and that she'll feel better because she feels really sick. That's what we're getting, is more of that stuff. Because we're using the power of the word in this way that is dissipating its power. The logos, the idea of logos, the word, it's more than just a word. It's a sacred consciousness. Actually, the Merriam-Webster's dictionary actually defines logos as divine wisdom made manifest. And so in the beginning of John, you hear, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was made flesh, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So it's telling us about this this power of creativity in the sacred word. And so when we speak a prayer, that's what we want to be using. The sacred word that opens up all possibility, that expands consciousness, that allows us to move fully into that next faithful step and that next faithful step. Because that's also what prayer does. It builds faith. It demonstrates faith and it builds faith. May Rowland was this director of Silent Unity for over 50 years. And the legend about May Rowland, I'm sure there are many, but the one that I always heard working at Silent Unity was the day that there was one of those great Kansas City storms. If you're from the Midwest, you know what I mean by a storm. You don't know storms out this way. I mean, I'm talking lightning and thunder and dark, dark skies and sometimes spinning tornadoes. You know, we're talking storms. And so that kind of storm was brewing. And May Rowland took the light that always shines for you out of the prayer vigil chapel, and everybody went with her, and they're all like, where's May going? She's going outside into the storm. And she literally went out, she raised up her hands and something akin to peace be still, and the storm went away. This is the story still told at Silent Unity. And really, it sounds fantastical, but so does a lot of the stories that we read in our scriptures, right? And it can be so. All we have to do is believe. I love the story where the man is hoping or asking Jesus to heal his son. And he says, if you can. And Jesus says, if I can. He says, you must believe. And the man says, I believe, help my unbelief. Isn't that the cry of the prayer for us? Like, that's the depth of the soul kind of prayer. I believe. I've got this faith. It's developing. I believe. I think I can co-create. I want to believe it. Help the places where I don't believe, where I'm learning, where I'm trying to learn, where I'm sort of experimenting with this idea of affirmative prayer. So affirmative prayer, it's no big secret. It's just speaking the truth that we want as if it's already happened. In the present tense, but claiming it to be so. Giving thanks in advance for that which we wish for. Giving thanks in advance for our health and our vitality and our energy, or that love that we're longing for, that harmony that we wish for in our existing relationships, or, you know, the good that we wish for our children and the hopes that we hold for them. And so not just hoping, but claiming it, seeing it to be so. I know the wisdom for my child, and they are making the best and highest decisions right now is quite different than I'm really worried about, you know, Johnny or Mary. What a different energy, right? And we can pray from that energy, and it really doesn't do a whole lot. That's why I'm saying affirmative prayer is more effective in the sense that it lines up with what we believe. A different style of prayer may be more effective for somebody who believes differently. But if we really work these principles and align with these principles and say, yeah, this makes sense to me, I get these principles, then we want to put the words with it, the prayers with it, the intentions with it that allow it all to flow right out into the world. So in the co-creative process, there's this invisible, I was getting to earlier in the creation of the universe, the same as with us, there is this invisible process of a thought. A feeling behind it, probably, or with it, a thought and a feeling, a desire. And so then it gets kind of clothed with our words, if you will. So it starts to take a physical form, almost, as you hear the words spoken. And so you hear your own words spoken. Somebody you're praying with hears the words that you're praying, and it begins to create something. And then it manifests. So you're calling it into being, you're speaking it into being. That's the power of logos. That's the power of the word. That's the word made flesh, is your creation manifested physically by the power of your word. Isn't that magnificent? Isn't that powerful? That we get to do this. We get to create whatever it is that we want to experience. It's pretty profound when you just think about it for a moment. So we can go on with our lives and feel battered about by the world and the events of the world, or we can step into this principle like May Roland and say, peace be still, and move into what it is that we want to create, glorious, clear skies, sunny days, bright health, whatever it is. So it's pretty simple and affirmative prayer. I think a lot of times I hear people say, well, I don't really know how to pray, or I'm embarrassed to pray out loud, or I'm not sure I'm really praying the right way, the unity way. Let's just let all that go. Because, yeah, we want to be affirmative and we want to use affirmative prayer, but a prayer from your heart is a prayer. And then you can practice affirmative prayer too, you know? Let us be in practice together. I always think that's what spiritual community is. If nothing else, aren't we here to support one another on the journey and to practice with each other? So you don't have to have it all just right, whatever just right is, but just to be in practice together, to say, let me practice these principles. Let me try to see the divine in the people I'm interacting with, especially those who maybe are pushing my buttons. And let me see the divine in myself, and let's together figure out what we want to co-create. How powerful when we have like minds like this that are working these kinds of principles, creating together. What a world we can make right here in this room, beginning here anyway. And then it'll have a life of its own, right? Then who knows from there. So let's take a look at a slide that sort of brings it all together for us of what these different aspects, these steps in prayer are all about. So it's the word pray or praise, a little double entendre, praise, get it? And the P is really the beginning of the prayer, right? So it's the pause in our day. You know, prayer doesn't have to be something where you're sitting with a candle and you have music or you're on your meditation cushion. It can be you're at a meeting and the people around you aren't used to praying out loud like we are here. We're blessed to have meetings here where we begin and end with prayer. But in your workplace, that may not be the way that it goes. But you can be in prayer. You can take a moment before you begin something new and pause. Doesn't have to be a long, drown-out experience. You don't have to close your eyes and take the meditation pose. You know, you can just take a moment to drop in and pause and breathe. This is pre-praying, preparing for whatever it is that comes next. So there is that kind of spaciousness and presence that comes through when we pause, if we have more of a sense, you know, it doesn't necessarily need more time, but there is a sense of dropping in and feeling that expansive sense of the presence of spirit. And then there are release statements. So we used to say in Unity, well, it's still said if you read some of the old books, they're called denials. So you hear denials and affirmations. I prefer to just use the term release, because denial, you know, we get tripped up, and what does denial mean? Pretend like something that's not there. So it's not that. It's not like we're praying, I have a headache, and now I want to pray about it, and so I'm going to pray I don't have a headache. You know, that's not probably going to work. You know, your head's pounding, and you're praying, I don't have a headache, I don't have a headache, I don't have a headache. I mean, try it. Let me know how it goes. But I'm guessing that's probably not going to be very effective. But what we can do is be kind and compassionate with ourselves, as we would if we were praying with someone else, and meet ourselves with where we are in the relative experience. So our heads are hurting, and so maybe we can move into this expanded place of breath for a moment. Take our mind off the pain for a moment and move into the breath. And there is naturally kind of an expansion that happens, and the pain seems to get a little bit less. And so there's an expanded state. Even maybe you might even imagine an expanded state around your head, more of the energy and not just this compressed feeling. And so then we may make some release statements, you know. This temporary pain has no power over me. That's actually an affirmation. It's put in the release format. You can use that one for everything. This, whatever, has no power over me. This fear of falling has no power over me. This fear of an accident has no power over me. This fear has no power over me. This anger has no power over me. This tension has no power over me. And if you really feel that truth, this temporary pain has no power over me. You can almost feel the shift just by saying that, even if you're not having, hopefully you're not having, I don't want to focus too much on the headache example. But whatever it is, that just you can imagine when you say that statement, it diffuses the energy, and it moves, and it's true. So it moves us into truth, that this thing, whatever it is, has no power over me. It frees us automatically. And then maybe we make other statements, the pain is now dissipating. And then we can move to the affirmation of truth. I'm healthy and whole and well, energized, pain-free, whatever it is. So it might be like that, like taking ourselves by the hand and moving through to the place that we wish to be. Not just trying to jump or leapfrog into a place that just doesn't feel close to the relative reality of where we are. So those are some ways we can use the release statement. And then we're into the affirmations, the making firm what it is that we want to create. A world that works for all. I'm seeing and experiencing a world that works for all. I'm seeing and experiencing a world that works for all. So we're listening to the news and we say, you know, that's enough news. And I want to just bring the blessing in. I'm seeing and experiencing a world that works for all. And, you know, the key to prayer is to feel it. So if that statement isn't working for you, something else may. But to feel the energy, to be in that dance with Spirit. And then the why in praise is yay, you know, gratitude. Yay. It is so, right? We're getting the sign-off is it is so. But there's gratitude is something we naturally feel when we pray, generally. And so it's a natural kind of place where we might sprinkle gratitude throughout a prayer or put it toward the end of the prayer. Thank you, Spirit. Thank you for this communion. Thank you for this time of peace. Thank you to myself for taking the time apart. Thank you to the person I'm praying with. Whatever it is, that just a simple thank you, God, is a sufficient prayer. I think that was Meister Eckhart that said that. No, not Meister Eckhart, someone else. Can't pull it out right now. But anyway, thank you, God, this simple prayer. And then finally, there's a signing off, right? There's the what we know often is the amen. And what does amen mean? It means, and so it is, or it is so. So often I say that because we say amen and maybe aren't always thinking about what amen means. But if you really just spell it out, and so it is, it's another kind of affirmative, like I'm claiming this, and so it is. This is the truth. It is so. You've probably heard Native Americans use aho, all my relations. So that's another way of closing out all my relations, including all my relations, my ancestors, and honoring of all my ancestry. I've been in a lot of circles like that, and aho is not my tradition, so it's never felt quite right for me to use that term. And so I came up with one that really worked for me that was like amen and om and aho all together. And it's ahom. And it feels like for me, it just like really drives the prayer deep into the heart, a home. And it sounds like going home. So maybe that's one that'll work for you. But you know, you can use your own or use one of these, but it's basically a final sort of, this is so, a final claiming, a final knowing. The prayer is now closed and it is true and it is so and it is happening right now. So prayer is a knowing in our hearts, a feeling in our hearts, a presence of God, maybe through the listening or the deep silence of finding God in that way. And it is a speaking of truth out of that, that co-creative process, using the word in this very sacred way of understanding that it is wisdom made manifest. And that's all there is to prayer. Well, for now. Let's close out with an affirmation. I am praying truth into being. Let's say it together. I am praying truth into being. Let's just bring our attention to our hearts into that home space and say that one more time. I am praying truth into being. And so it is. Bless you.